over the past weeks, probably, I suppose, within the last month, we've had a number, at least on the news, a number of massive events which has changed, at least for the individuals involved, changed their lives completely. We've had, of course, the cyclones up north, Gisborne and Auckland, and the flooding in Auckland before that as well. And very, very quickly, you can lose your entire life's savings, I suppose, or your entire life's work in very much overnight. Same with the earthquake in Turkey and in Syria. And there where whole apartment blocks have just kind of crashed, caved in, nothing left. And thousands dead. Even think about the war in Ukraine at the moment. I mean, it's very much on the news. There's other wars elsewhere as well, of course. Let's not forget that. But I suppose the war in Ukraine is very much in the news. And one missile, you can imagine living in Ukraine, one missile destroys the house that you've been building for or saving for whatever, for however long. In one hit, your house is gone. Everything is lost. It reminds you, doesn't it, really, the transience of what we have in this life. Things come and things go very quickly. Chapter 4, verse 18. For the things that are seen are transient. They come and they go. Even Moses, as he speaks in Psalm 90, you know, our days might be 70 or 80 years, but they come and they go. We're like the grass of the field. It comes up and it's gone. Things in this life are transient, very much so. And the physical is very much temporary. And if this world, and if what we have in this world is all that there is to live, well, if we lose it through a flood or an earthquake, it's gone. Everything is gone. Our life is gone. Our whole, everything that we've built up in this life, that we've lived for, is gone. But of course, if what we have lived for is eternal, it goes on and on. It continues on. And that kind of perspective, as here, chapter 4, verse 18, the things that are unseen are eternal. That kind of perspective, as it were, a standing back and viewing life and viewing what we have in this life and viewing our lives in the light of eternity. I mean, that really makes us see, and that really helps us to live as we are called to live. And that's really, in many ways, the comfort of the Christian. You know, the Heidelberg Catechism says, how does the resurrection of the body comfort you? Or our passage here this evening as well, in chapter 5, verse 6, so we are always of good courage. We'll look at why we're of good courage in a minute. But this is the comfort of the Christian. What you and I have here, these bodies that might be or might not be breaking down, these houses, these economies, all these things that we have here come and go, but eternity is coming, and we are storing up a wealth of treasure in eternity. And that's life. That's true life. And so that's the comfort we want to look at this evening, the comfort of the resurrection of the body. So we've got just two things we're going to be looking at, being with Christ and receiving new bodies. Or, again, sometimes it's nice to have better divisions, I suppose you might say. Maybe we could have bodies destroyed and bodies renewed. What we're going to do is we're going to look at this passage kind of, as it were, upside down. We're going to look at verse 6 to 9 first, and then we'll look at verse 1 to 5 of chapter 5. So first we're going to be looking at 6 to 9, and then verse 1 through to 5. Now, life is not always easy. We say that often. Well, maybe I say it too often, I don't know. But life isn't always easy. Our physical bodies aren't always the way we would like them to be. Paul talks about these deteriorating bodies. If again, we can go back to chapter 4, which I read a bit earlier. What do we have there? Verse 16. We do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. They're wasting away, our bodies. We are, you know, maybe children and young people. You know, you've got young bodies. right? I think I'm, by my children at least, I'm classified in the old people range, you know. So I'm at that end maybe now. But when you're young, when you're a child, you know, our bodies are getting stronger. And it's all looking up. And then we, as the crass terminology says nowadays, you know, when you're over the hill, you're kind of looking down. And things are kind of starting to break down. And things aren't quite as good as they used to be. You get the aches and the pains. And you know, well, children as well, we know as well, don't we, that death is coming. And it's really not that far away. Our outer body is wasting away. The Apostle Paul also calls this, in chapter 4, verse 7, these jars of clay. He has this treasure. He has this treasure that he wants to give to the Corinthians. And he says the glory of the gospel is so wonderful. But it comes to you in these these bodies that we have. And we are bringing this to you. And we, Paul says, you know, we're just a jar of clay, chipped and cracked and easy to be broken. And so physically, life is not always easy. But also, living the Christian life, there are so many obstacles in the Christian life. You know, sin has affected us. It pains us. It hinders our life with God. We can't escape the sin. You know, even the best saints can't overcome sin. And it wears the Christian down. But don't forget, it is light. It is momentary affliction. As he mentions in chapter 4, momentary affliction, because there's more to life than this life. The Christian is great comfort because we are called to be of good, we're called to be of good courage, as verse 6 reminds us. So we are always of good courage. Why? Because the reality is this is not all that there is. What we see is not all that there is. There is something better. There is something greater. Death will usher us into the presence of God. Verse 6, look at what it says there. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord. So where we are now, there's a sense where we are away from the Lord. Now, of course, we know God is with us always, never leaves us, never forsakes us. We realize that. But while we're here on this earth, we're not with the Lord in the sense of being near to Him, as, for example, Adam and Eve were in the garden. Or as, for example, those who have already died are now. Because when we die, our bodies, of course, go into the ground and they break down. But our souls immediately go up to heaven to be with the Lord. Our bodies will stop functioning. They will start to decay. They will start to go back to the earth. And our souls immediately go into the presence of God. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1:23, I desire to depart and to be with Christ. You know, or verse 21, to live is Christ, yes, but to die, I mean, that's going to be better still. I'm going to be with the Lord immediately in His presence. Or for example, the thief on the cross. You remember Jesus hung on the cross and there were the two thieves beside Him. And the one of them, he started cursing Him. And then he stopped short in his tracks. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Immediately at his death, he went into the presence of Christ. In other words, there is no such thing. The Bible doesn't teach anything about soul sleep. It doesn't teach anything about purgatory. Immediately at the point of death, our souls go, for those who believe in Christ, our souls go to be with Christ. And those who have rejected Him, souls will go to hell. Now, quite a while ago, someone died. And one of my children, I hope he doesn't mind mentioning this story, one of my children said to me, he was much younger at the time, but one of my children said to me something like, oh, did they see the hole in the roof? And I said, what do you mean, the hole in the roof? He said, well, you know, when he died, he went to heaven. right? And so you're thinking about a hole in the roof. Somehow or another, this person had to go through the roof. And of course, we know that it's our souls which are invisible, they're spiritual. Just like you might say, just like the angels are spiritual beings, so our souls are spiritual as well, and they go immediately up to Christ in heaven, again, spiritually, so they don't have to crash through ceilings and doors and so forth. But our souls go immediately to heaven, and our bodies are returned to the ground, hence we bury our bodies. Now, we need to be careful, of course. We go to heaven to be with Christ immediately. That doesn't mean that we glorify death, as if death is the best thing that could possibly happen to us, because death is still the enemy. Just because Paul said we're of good courage, we want to be at home, we want to be at home with the Lord, we would rather, he says in verse 8, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Just because there is that longing doesn't mean that death is not the enemy. It's still the enemy. Yes, funerals can be celebrations in a sense, but they're also very somber times, difficult times, because death is the enemy. It's the final enemy. Death entered the world because of sin. Death entered the world because of, well, death is a reminder of judgment and a reminder of the curse. But death has also been conquered. Christ conquered death. And that's the glorious thing about death. When Jesus died, when he entered into death, it's as if, you might say, the enemies of Christ, they looked at him and they saw him die and they thought, ha, told you he wasn't God. He's been conquered by something. He's been conquered by death. Let's bury him. Let's get rid of that body. Death has had the upper hand. It's finished him off. But of course it didn't, because it never can. He entered into death, and he rose from death, and therefore he conquered death. He is more powerful, and in his conquering of death, he reversed the judgment, and he reversed the curse. And on that final day, he will finally drive it away completely, destroy it completely. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, where death is thrown into the lake of fire, never to be seen again. There will come a day when God's people will never, ever see death again, because it has been conquered. What a glorious truth that is. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that great chapter about the resurrection, verse 54, we read, death is swallowed up in victory. There is a victory over death. Death has lost its sting. You know, death itself, as I've talked to many people over, a number of people over the years, and as they and as I myself as well have thought about death. I mean, we don't, somebody once said something along the lines of, oh, I don't fear death, I just fear dying. You know, because dying is going to be painful. There is a sense of pain, at least physical pain in the dying process. But death itself is, as it were, the doorway into eternal life with God forever and ever. And so we have this great, we can be of good courage, because death is not the end. Death, yes, is the final enemy, but it has been conquered in Christ and will be one day, once and for all, completely conquered and disappear into the lake of fire. So that firstly, our bodies destroyed. But then secondly also, how we receive new bodies. And there we want to look at verse 1 through to 5, or you might say our bodies renewed. We look, there's a sense, as I mentioned, we look forward to death because it will be the end of our physical struggle in this life. But it's not the end. And it's not even the end of our bodies. So our bodies die and our bodies rot into the ground. They turn back to the dust that they once were. And at the resurrection, they will rise again, completely reversed, new bodies, glorious bodies. Look at verse 1 with me. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, a very interesting way of talking about our bodies, right? The tent. If you're into camping, you know that tents are temporary, hopefully, and the shorter the better sometimes. You set up a tent and you can pack it again, put it in the car, move along, unpack it, and so forth. It's a temporary accommodation. We don't want to live in a tent for too long. Some people do stay in tents for years. In fact, Abraham, remember, he lived his whole life on earth in tents. And whenever that's mentioned, the whole point of it, of being mentioned, is the fact that he was a sojourner. He was just temporary. He didn't have a place to call his home. So this idea of a tent is temporariness. But our bodies are like that. Our bodies are like the tent. Our bodies are not permanent. You know, camping is fun to do for a while, but eventually it's home sweet home, right? We want to get home. We want to sleep in a proper bed. We want to get back into our solid houses. And so with our bodies. Yes, we have wonderful bodies. God has made wonderful bodies. And if you're, you know, you look at the biology of our bodies and you realize how glorious and wonderful they are. God has made them incredibly well. And we have a life to live, and it's a good life to live. And we are called to enjoy the life that God has given to us to live. But they will waste away, our bodies. And as the more they waste away, the more we look forward to our eternal home. And so there's this highlighting the difference between this tent and this building, or a tent and a house, a dwelling. Because the tent is earthly. You'll see there in verse 1, the tent is our earthly home, and the building is from God, or later on in verse 2, it is a heavenly dwelling. A dwelling that is heavenly, therefore not of this earth. Our bodies will be renewed. They will be from God in the sense that they're renewed. They will be heavenly in the sense that they're gloriously heavenly, that they're fit for heaven. And so here in verse 4, we're groaning in this tent and looking forward to be clothed better. We don't want to take, there's a sense where we don't want to take this body off, but our body will be taken off. And we don't want to be unclothed. In other words, we don't want to just have our souls, which as we saw before, we will have our souls, which will go to heaven to be with Christ, without bodies. So that's being unclothed. But we long to be further clothed. In other words, better clothes or better bodies, really is what it says. We will have better bodies than those of earth, than those that we have of earth here. Now, we don't know exactly what that will be like. There's not much mention in Scripture about that. A couple of things that we can see, at least from this passage, we can see that we're heavenly, fit for heaven. They won't be earthly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you just turn back a couple of pages there, verse 47 and 48 as well, giving this comparison between the man of dust, which is Adam. So we're all of Adam. So we have bodies of dust. Verse 47, the first man, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47, the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, speaking about the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he was from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those of the dust, that's you and me. As the man from heaven, so are also those who are of heaven. We will one day be those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. We will have heavenly bodies. And as it were, to clear up the confusion in verse 53, if there would be any confusion, just drop down to verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. For this perishable body, this body of dust, this body from Adam, must put on the imperishable, the new body that Christ has. This mortal body, again, the body of dust, the body of Adam, must put on immortality. Again, not clear exactly what it will be like. But you might say it's a little bit like Jesus' body after he rose from the dead. It was still, in many ways, his old body. His disciples recognized him immediately. But he still had the scars. But he was changed in some way. He could come and go as he wanted through the doors, or through locked doors, it mentions. But exactly what that body was like, we don't 100% know. But it will be the bodies we have now, but made more glorious. I read somewhere a couple of weeks ago where somebody was speaking about this the resurrection of the body, the African churches, and this line in the Apostle Creed, the early African churches. So North Africa, there was a very strong Christian presence in the early church. The African churches, in this phrase of the creed, it went like this: I believe in the resurrection of this flesh. Not just the resurrection of the body, but the resurrection of this flesh. So it will be, you know, they were focusing on the fact that this flesh we have now will be resurrected, it will be renewed, and it will be a glorious, changed body. So that's what it will be like, and that's what the resurrection of the body is all about. I just want to mention a couple of things as we think about, as we close off, and as we think about the, I suppose you could say, the application. What do we do with this? Well, we live in a society where cosmetics is cosmetics industry is worth billions and billions, right? I don't know how much it's worth, but I'm sure it's worth billions and billions. We're looking for the secret of eternal youth. Well, we ain't going to find it, because our bodies are going to waste away. Bodies are going to be destroyed. We can make it look like we're not breaking down, but eventually they will, and eventually we'll die. It's hard. We can try, but it's hard to keep our bodies looking young. Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with cosmetics, so please don't get me wrong. But the point is, we will keep dying. Our bodies will keep breaking down. And you can't hold it back. And the sooner that we recognize that, and the sooner, as it were, we embrace that, the easier life will be. Because there's a sense where the breaking down of our bodies reminds us of the eternal life, of the resurrection of these breaking down bodies. So our bodies will break down, but they will rise again one day. And also, as we think about that, we can live for the Lord in the here and now. We can sacrifice our bodies for the sake of the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about at the last part of the passage that we read about. We're of good courage, we'd rather be away from the body and so forth. So whether we are at home, in other words, when we are in glory, or whether we're away here on this earth, we make it our aim to please the Lord. And in verse 10, which we didn't read, but there is this, as it were, a spur to spur us on. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We make it our aim in this body to please the Lord. In other words, we give our bodies. Paul gave his body for the good of the Corinthians. And we give our bodies for the good of our fellow brothers and sisters. Ultimately, we give our bodies for the praise of God. Now, we don't really like this idea. We need to look after ourselves. We need to look after our bodies. Don't get too carried away with religion. Don't be too excessive. Paul says, I live with my aim to please the Lord. I live in my body with my aim to please the Lord. And so Paul sees what God has done for him in Christ. And Paul realizes all that he has had in this life, Philippians chapter 3. You know, he was born of the tribe of Benjamin, and he had all these privileges that he had. As a young man, he had these many, many privileges. But he found Christ, and he was so, as it were, besotted with Christ. He counted everything as rubbish if he could just gain Christ, and that he might be able to share in his sufferings. And I'll read verse 10 of chapter 3 of Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings. He wants to share in the sufferings in his body and may becoming like him in his death, so that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. I count even my body as nothing compared to what I will receive in Christ and through Christ. Paul lived for the resurrection of his body. And so we too can live, dying in this life, putting our bodies to death in this life, for the sake of the resurrection that is to come. Our bodies are wasting away, beloved. But be of good courage. Be of good courage. Remind yourself, I believe in the resurrection of the body. As our bodies waste away, I believe in the resurrection of the body. I am looking for mansions of glory. I am looking forward to the resurrection. I am looking forward to a permanent body that will not fade away, that will never grow weak, that will never grow old, an eternal, glorious body. Be of good comfort. Be of good courage. Christ has overcome death. Let's pray. Our Father and gracious God, we thank you for this truth. What a wonderful truth. To know Jesus Christ, to know he has overcome death, and to know that as he rose, so we will raise one day. Our bodies will be raised. We praise and we thank you for this truth. And we pray that each one gathered here this afternoon, all of those who are with us online, Lord, that we might live not for self, that we might live not for this life. Lord, help us to live, yes, to sacrifice our bodies for the sake of the cross, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Help us with this. Lord, we don't like this, not by nature. Give us this kind of life. May you be honored and glorified as you take our lives and let them be wholly devoted to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.